It was far too sad and innocent a sound to be the death knell for my friends. But that might be exactly what it was. "Stay here," I said quietly. "I don't think this is going to turn into a John Woo film for a couple of minutes, at least. Murph, take the lead until I get back. Sonya, back her." She arched an eyebrow at me, but nodded. Sonya shifted his position by a couple of feet to stand slightly behind her and at her right hand. I moved slowly up the last few steps to the temple. It was a fairly simple thing, an almost cubic building atop the pyramid, with a single opening the size of a fairly standard doorway on each side. Alamaya went in first, her eyes downcast. The moment she was in the door, she took a step to one side and knelt, her eyes on the ground, as if she were worthy to move no farther forward. I took a slow breath and stepped past her to face the king of the Red Court. He was kind of little. He stood with his back to me, his hands raised over his head, murmuring in what I presumed to be ancient Mayan or something. He was 5'2", 5'3", well-muscled, but certainly nothing like imposing. He was dressed in a kind of skirt-kilt thing, naked from the waist up and the kneecap down. His hair was black and long, hanging to the top of his shoulder blades. He gripped a bloodied knife in his hand and lowered it slowly, delicately. It was only then that I noticed the woman on the altar, bound hand and foot, her eyes wide and hopeless, fixed on that black knife as if she could not look away. My hands clenched into fists. I wasn't here to fight, I reminded myself. I wasn't here to fight. But I wasn't here to stand around and let something like this happen, either. And I've never had a clear mind when it comes to protecting women. Murphy says it makes me a Neanderthal. She may be right, but I didn't seize a bone and jump the guy. I just cleared my throat really, really obnoxiously and said, "Hey." The knife paused. Then the Red King lowered it and turned to face me. And I was forcibly reminded that nuclear warheads come in relatively small packages. He made absolutely no threatening gesture. He didn't even glare. He didn't need to. The pressure of his eyes was like nothing I had ever felt before. Empty darkness that struck at me like a physical blow, that made me feel as if I had to physically lean away from them to keep from being drawn forward into that vacuum and lost to the void. I was suddenly reminded that I was alone, that I had none of my tools, that I was involved in matters way over my head, and that my outfit looked ridiculous. That was simply his physical presence. It was far too huge for the little body it came in, too large to be contained by the stone of this temple, a kind of psychic body heat that loomed so large that only a fool would not be instantly aware of how generally insignificant he was in the greater scheme of the universe. I felt my resolve being eroded, even as I stood there, and I clenched my jaw and looked away. The Red King chuckled. He said something. Alamaya answered him, then rose and came to kneel down at his feet, facing me. The slave on the altar remained in place, crying quietly. I could hear another, smaller voice coming from behind the altar. Holy crap. I couldn't have cut this one much closer. I focused on my daughter's voice for a moment, small and sweet, and suddenly I didn't feel nearly so small. I just felt angry. The Red King spoke. Alamaya listened and then said, "You do not speak the true tongue of the ages, wizard, so my lord will use this slave to ensure that understanding exists between us."
"Radical," I said, "wicked cool."
Alamaya eyed me for a moment. Then she said something to the Red King, apparently conveying the fact that I had obnoxiously used phrasing that was difficult to translate. He narrowed his eyes. I mimicked his expression. I didn't know if he got it, but he sure didn't like it. He said something in a short, curt tone.
"My lord demands to know why you are here," the priestess said.
"Tell him he fucking well knows why I'm here," I said. She stared at me in shock. She stammered several times as she translated for me. I don't know if ancient Mayan has a word for bleep or if she used it. The Red King listened, his expression slipping from displeasure into careful neutrality. He stared at me for several moments before he spoke again.
I was given a gift by she you know as Duchess Ariana, the girl translated. Are you saying that the gift was wrongfully obtained?
Yes, I said, not looking away from him. And you know it. I shook my head. I'm sick of dancing. Tell him that I'll kill Ariana for him, take my daughter with me, and leave in peace. Tell him if he does that, it stops being personal. Otherwise, I'm prepared to fight.
The girl translated, her face once more fearful. When she finished, the Red King burst out laughing. He leaned back against the altar, his mouth wide in a grin, his black eyes utterly unsettling. He spoke a few terse sentences. My lord says that he will throw one of your limbs from each door if you lift your hand against him.
I snorted. Yes, but I won't even try to kill him.
I leaned forward, speaking to the Red King, not the girl, and showing him my teeth. I'll try to cripple him, wound him, weaken him. Ask him if he thinks the death curse of a wizard of the White Council can deal him a wound. Ask him how well he trusts the people on the nearest couple of levels of the pyramid. Ask him if he thinks that they'll visit and send gifts when they realize he's been hurt.